I kept reading. My second year at this town, I decided to enroll in a doctoral seminar at Duquesne University in Roman Catholic Systematic Theology. I would go down for Thursdays once a week and spend about 18 hours in the library studying and reading and talking to professors all about it. Well, I was surprised to find myself in one seminar after another explaining from Scripture where the Catholic Church got this belief, explaining to priests or ex-priests who were teaching these seminars where the Catholic Church got that belief, what John Paul means when he speaks about the covenant of marriage, because my tradition was in the covenant, and most of my own study from the covenant had led me closer and closer to the Catholic Church. I kept wondering, why am I, and why is my best friend, who's a Presbyterian minister, in the same doctoral seminar, why are we the only ones seeing in Scripture these Catholic ideas? There was a lot of confusion at the time, and there is today everywhere. Well, it ended up that this other guy who was studying with me, named Tom, was a Presbyterian minister, and I would have these late-night talks with him. He was hoping that he could just go Episcopalian or Anglican. And I said, Tom, let's go out for a drink. And so we'd go out after our seminars, and I'd just talk to him for an hour, two, three, 4 hours until midnight, until I had to get home. And one afternoon, my wife got a call when I was out of the house. And Tom had called out of the blue. My wife didn't even know him. And he said, you're Kimberly, right? Yeah. I'm Tom Sonley. I've heard about you. I just became Catholic, and I'm so excited. I just had to share the news. I got home, and my wife was looking at me. What have you been doing to them down there? And this guy used to be a pastor at the church, the Presbyterian church where I'd grown up. She couldn't believe it. So what she was doing on the sly, I hadn't known about, but she was contacting my friends, calling them up at night, and saying, you know, would you be interested in kind of rescuing my husband from the clutches of Roman Catholicism? Most of my friends would say, Scott Hahn, Catholic, nah, just give him time, ask for a little sleep and some water, he'll get over it, you know. And she was begging and pleading with some of them, no, you don't understand, this thing is really strong in him. Finally, my best friend from seminary, the only other guy in the Presbyterian fellowship who thought that the Roman Catholic Church was the Antichrist, who was a Presbyterian at the time, a Presbyterian pastor at the time in Harrisburg, he said to my wife, yes, you know. And I could tell in my wife's eyes that she viewed Jerry as her gallant hero, her gallant knight in shining armor, coming to rescue her husband. So he called me up and said, I understand you're reading Catholic theology. Well, why don't you read some anti-Catholic theology? I said, like what? Send me some titles. And I said, you send me some titles, and can I send you some titles? Sure. He sent me about 10 or 15, maybe 20 titles. I worked through them. I sent him 20 titles. He worked through those. Got a call. Well, how'd you like the books? I said, no, they're not answering the questions. I need more. He gave me five or six more. He said, could you give me some more titles? Sure, Jerry, I'd be glad to. I'll send you a box of books, you know, not just names and authors. So he called me back like 3 or 4 weeks later. I've been reading. I said, well, I gave you lots of books. He goes, I finished them. All of them? All of them. Now, I wouldn't think you'd have time as a busy pastor to read those books unless something was brewing inside. Something is brewing inside. Can we talk sometime? So, we talked long distance, 4 or 5 hours at a crack till 3, 4 in the morning, many occasions, trying to figure out the loophole. Where are they wrong? Where did the Catholic Church go wrong? They're wrong. That was a given. But how can we prove it? Where's the proof? How can we? We're getting desperate. And over again, whenever we think we'd find the Achilles heel, the vulnerable spot of weakness, we'd find not only was there an answer, but it was a strong, unanswerable. It would be a strong, incontrovertible answer every time. And we were really getting nervous. So we both had a mentor, a very famous theologian who had been like a spiritual and academic father to me and my best friend Jerry. We called him up. We'll say his name is Dr. John. And we said, Dr. John, we need to get together with you because we know you're Harvard-trained, you're a leading Presbyterian theologian in the world,
and you are the expert on the Catholic Church and all their many errors. Oh, sure. Why do you want to get together about that? Because both of us are thinking seriously about becoming Catholics.
What? Yes, we'll get together. When? I mean...
And we arranged to do it in a matter of days. He just dropped everything. I drove down to his house, and then we drove out together to Harrisburg for 3 hours in the car, and he talks 10 times faster than I talk, and I talked 10 times faster than I'm talking now. We got about 45 hours of conversation squeezed into those 3 hours. I was sharing this big backlog of arguments that I'd piled up, unable to share with any of my friends and associates in Grove City. And as he would hear them, he would say, "Ah, that's clever. I didn't want to hear that." But he would just say, keep sharing yours. Well, I'm sure there's a way you can do these arguments in a way that will keep you in the Presbyterian Church. Oh, no, you don't understand. You know, and I'd point these things out to him. And we finally got to a Holiday Inn outside of Harrisburg where we met Jerry. For 6 or 7 hours, we sat there with the Greek New Testament, the Hebrew Old Testament, the Council of Trent, all the official documents of the church sprawled out over this table, going at it, hoping, praying, and believing that he would rescue us from this dragon. At the end, I remember we both had to excuse ourselves to go to the restroom. I looked at Jerry, he looked at me. We shook our heads. No. He's been taking these texts out of context. He's been misinterpreting the Council of Trent. He's been misinterpreting the Vatican II. He's been misrepresenting the Catholic Church to us for years. And as we present to him one argument after the other, his answers are just simply not persuasive. We were both nodding. We both had the clear sense that we had been set up. And it was a very humiliating sense. At the same time, it was very exhilarating. It was exciting, but scary. So I went home, and my wife and I had been talking, and she had been praying and hoping that this confrontation would just kind of end it all. And when I came back, quite sure that this was, that this Dr. John, this professor, had not answered questions at all, but in fact had raised more questions, then she decided that I needed to do what really both of us knew all along, and that was devote myself full-time to doctoral studies in a Catholic school where I can hear from the horse's mouth and I can see the church for what it is. So we moved to Milwaukee to study at Marquette University. After investigating many programs, I found that was the best for what I needed. I moved there, and I planned to convert, if necessary, if absolutely necessary, 1990 at the earliest. And even that date just seemed frighteningly close. But my wife and I had agreed on the timetable, and we plotted it out neatly, and it was going to be an academically respectable move, intellectually credible, and all that.